Hello, ghouls and boys. It's Truda from the show with Jen and Truda. And that's my best scary voice. So welcome to the Halloween Showcast Special, the Ghost Investigation Special for 2017. Thank you for joining us on the podcast today. We're going to have a pretty good time over the next little while. So if you listen to the show with any regularity, you know that we started talking about scary stories a couple of weeks ago in time for Halloween. Now, my favorite holiday is Halloween. I love scary stories, spooky things, haunted houses, ghost stories, and I love a good ghost investigation. In fact, over the years that I've done morning shows for about the past 20 years, I've invited numerous paranormal teams to join us and or to have me join them and go out on a ghost investigation somewhere. Now, in the past decade or so, I've gone with different groups. We did a personal house down in Fort Scott, Kansas. We did a Scottish Rite temple. I walked one time through the Union Hill Cemetery in downtown Kansas City, Mo, in the middle of the night. All of these different places. And I've got to tell you, not once have I ever had a ghostly experience myself. And it's probably for the best because, look, to be honest with you, we wear headphones and radio every day, every minute that we're on the show. It's just a necessity. And I always say that the first minute that I hear somebody else's voice in my headphones that's not mine on a recording, well, I'm out of here. Put them down. I'm done. So that's probably for the best. But nevertheless, I persist in trying to go out and spook up and scare up some ghostly adventures. And this year's no different. So a couple of weeks on the show, Jen shared a ghostly story about herself and something that happened on her way into work one morning. Check this out.
And so I come in this morning and we have Eric, the security guard, who's always sitting right there at the door. I talk to him every morning. Mm-hmm. And he tells me the craziest story. So we had to get him on the phone so that he could tell you what happened. Eric, good morning.
What is up?
So, Eric, everybody here is convinced that this building is haunted. And when I came in this morning, you had a story which may offer some proof that, in fact, some weird things are happening.
Oh, this place is truly the place for Halloween, that's for sure. So no, I'm sitting here and I look at the cameras all the time. And I see you coming in every day. Everybody coming in. I see you coming in, and then all of a sudden you vanish. You're not there. Then all of a sudden you reappear. And I was like, where did that minute go? So I rewinded the camera, and I did it again today. And for a minute, you are not even on the system. You're not in the cameras. You're nowhere to be seen. I don't know where you went, but it's like you Houdini'd.
So wait, there Jen's the ghost. So I'm out of here.
This makes so much more sense.
There are guys, cameras.
Like, you got some kind of superpowers or something that you're not telling us about, you know? Because I want some superpowers.
There are some cameras that can see you whether you're in the stairwell, whether you're in the hallway, no matter where you are in this building.
Bathroom.
There's a camera.
Oh, wait, what?
There's except for the bathroom.
A camera.
Yeah, there's cameras everywhere.
On you. And yeah. So was this Wednesday morning that this happened?
Yes.
I come in, he sees me in the camera, was prepared to say hello, and then he said he went into this weird trance. I came up the stairs, then I go down the long hallway, but the camera does not show me. He sees me just in the
door. I'm looking at the camera angle, and I'm seeing you coming in. I go, she's going to be up the stairs, and I usually wait till you get about middle of the stairs, and then I say, hey, you know, I don't jump out or whatever, you know, hi, how are you? And it never happened.
Next thing
I know, you're down the hallway, and I know I'm not crazy or anything because I have another person right beside me.
Watching the same film, so not only did I vanish during the actual time, but then when they rewind the tape, I'm not on the tape.
You're not on that either.
Not on the tape.
I disappear
Still not on the tape.
Still not there. From the steps walking down the long hallway, I disappear and
so
then reappear.
I am slowly backing away from Jen.
Did it get colder in here?
She's like a time traveler or something. She's like Doctor Who.
That's so creepy. I remember
it is creepy.
Walking up the stairs.
It's really time travel. Take me back to my prom night. I'd want to change a few things.
You know, it is amazing that if Jen did have superpowers, it begs the question, why'd she put herself here?
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. Of all places.
Yes, yeah, right. Exactly.
Anyways, my camera system is baffled. I'm baffled. Everybody else is baffled. So I don't know.
Hmm.
But that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
That is the craziest thing.
Video proof.
Oh, yep.
Man.
Wow.
I'm frightened.
Well, thank you, Eric. Keep an eye out for me.
I'll try. I'll try. I'll do my
she
best.
Just teleports to the garage, apparently, so good luck.
Yeah, all right. Thank you, guys.
All right. See you, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Will you hold up a mirror to her and see if she appears in it?
Mm-mm.
Can we shine a light on you? Do I need to hold a wooden stake over here somewhere?
Here's why this is so creepy to me, is because I normally walk in and I talk to Eric. Like, every morning I'll say, yeah, how you feeling? What's going on today? Would you have breakfast? Blah, blah, blah. That morning, as I came up the stairs, I looked over at him and I thought he was asleep. Because his head was kind of bowed down a little bit, and I couldn't tell if he was just looking at the security camera, which he clearly said he was, or if he was asleep. So I was like, I'm just going to keep walking. But it was like he was in, to me, I thought he looked like he was in a weird trance. But during that time, there's no video of me walking up that flight of stairs, and there's a camera there. And they show me walking through the first hallway, then I disappear, and then I'm in a completely different hallway.
Okay, that was crazy. And I'm still not sure whether to think that Jen is actually a ghost or maybe a vampire, or perhaps she doesn't exist at all and she's just a figment of all of our imaginations. I'm not really sure what to think about this here. Well, that was crazy scary in and of itself. But Shaylee has some stories of her own of things that have happened around the building. So check out Shaylee's story.
This building is known to be scary anyway. Shaylee, just the other night, again, you heard the mystery typing.
Yeah, you just walk in. It's kind of outside my office, and it sounds like someone's typing, but it's not on a laptop. It doesn't sound like that.
Like old school, like typewriter?
Yeah, it's the weird clicky, and the second you get over there, if you acknowledge it, sometimes it goes away. So I'm just like, I'm just going to go in, get my stuff. But yeah, no one was here. Probably like 6:30.
Now, if you think that's crazy, Shaylee's story is actually backed up by people that have worked with us for a long time. There are people that have worked in Westport for our radio stations for 30 years that back up some of the crazy stories that we talk about happening in our building. And of course, it's Westport. I mean, come on. A, it's one of the oldest places in Kansas City. B, with all the nightlife and partying and, let's be honest, the violence, there's got to be a crazy ton of energy around there in so many different respects that there's something has to be going on. And honestly, Shaylee's story, as we found out later from an old coworker of ours, Laura, who called into the show to back up the story, there are other spooky things that are going on.
So it was a couple years ago, and this was right before we had our Halloween party, the Halloween party of epicness, if people were there for that. And I used to work in the very far back corner by Austin. I was the only person that was back there, which was creepy enough as it is. But I remember coming into the office, and two girls were freaking out that I had arrived because they thought I had been there the whole morning.
Oh, they heard sounds coming?
They heard someone typing in that back corner, and they saw someone pass from where my cubicle was into Austin's office in the back corner, but Austin was not there, and no one who worked back there was actually there. So they thought it had been me, and I was just there freakishly early, and they had said hello, but I often worked with headphones in, so they just thought I didn't hear them. But it turns out that there was no one there at all, and they were hearing ghost things, phantom things, and they were all just freaking out.
Well, I'm glad you called in to help fill us in on some of the stories around here. We're going to investigate these tomorrow night and see what happens.
All right. Well, have fun. Don't be safe.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
We'll try.
We'll open up not open up a gateway to hell. So
yeah. Well, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Laura.
Bye.
Okay. So we put all that stuff together, and we decided that we were going to put the call out for a paranormal group to come to our place for the first time ever. We were going to have a group come into us and do a paranormal investigation of our studios in Westport. And again, we are in one of the oldest buildings in the city. We are right next door to Kelly's, of course, Kelly's Bar and Grill, the famous bar. And Kelly's is in what they call the oldest building in Kansas City. It is the Bridger Buildings. Those buildings date back to the 1860s. We're talking Civil War time. And in case you haven't read up on your history, don't worry, we have over the past couple of weeks. there are some interesting facts about Westport. Check this out. So the Bridger Building is Jim Bridger. Back in the 1860s, Bridger had teamed up with another character that you and I know as Jesse James, and they actually had the James Bridger Gang. Now, Jesse and his brother Frank were also some crazy wild guys, as you well know. In addition to robbing trains and basically acting as the Robin Hood of the 1860s, they were also very involved in the Civil War and the fight for and against slavery. Well, legend has it that Frank James, at least, and Jim Bridger rode in Quantrill's raid on Lawrence. Now, this was the famous raid. This was the original border war, which unfortunately has all of his history and roots in real flesh and blood. Quantrill's raid on Lawrence, where they sacked and burned the town and killed all of those people. It was the Bushwhackers versus the Jayhawkers. It would lead to Missouri versus Kansas. Those pro-slavery against those who were for free state. Of course, we know it today as merely an athletic war, possibly an academic war, a war amongst colleges. But like I said, back in those days, it had a much bloodier, realistic sense of life or death battle. So with guys like Jim Bridger and Frank James hanging around Westport, well, now you know what kind of stuff we're dealing with here. So we brought in the guys from PRI. We had five people come in, Chris and his son Arthur. We had Chris's sister Jen, and we had Larry and his wife come down to the radio station on a Friday night, and we investigated the radio station. Now, what kinds of things are they going to do? Well, let's talk to Chris, who was kind of the ringleader for the evening, about what we can expect from this ghost investigation.
PRI was founded out of Topeka originally.
Okay.
Keith Ross is our group leader. He couldn't make it tonight, but all of us, including me, Chris, we do investigations once a month out at the Belvoir Winery during the warmer months. Okay. We take groups out and show them the buildings. It's been on Ghost Adventures, Ghost Hunters, so yeah. It's pretty active.
What do you think about our building so far?
I like the fact that there's layer upon layer of history, different buildings, right. Some mystery, not knowing where where some staircases go. But just all the energy from the old Stanford stage to just the old typewriter more than once being heard.
Right.
So
So can you kind of explain the investigation, what you guys are going to put up and what you're going to look for tonight?
Yeah, so we've got a digital camcorder, night vision, facing the old Stanford stage. Okay. And we have some call like an X cam. It's like a kind of puts like a stick figure on the screen if there's an energy in front of it. But we also have just like this K2 here. It measures if there's any kind of increase in electromagnetic energy. Doesn't mean there's a spirit, just means that there's a change in energy. Mm-hmm. So we're going to use that, and we have some other stuff to try to capture EVPs, electronic voice phenomena, okay. And other types of equipment like that.
A lot of times in these, what is your experience? What are they actually experiencing? If it's not supernatural most of the time, you know, is it something that's in their head, an idea, hallucination?
Most of the time there's a seed in there of truth of something happening, mm-hmm. and they just let their mind play on it.
Right.
Like voices could be just dripping water, or that cold chill is a vent you don't notice above your head because you're not familiar with your
right.
environment.
Well, I hope we find something tonight, because there have been a lot of reported stories, anecdotes about the building, and it will be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, definitely. We'll give it our best and see if we get any evidence.
All right. Let's do it.
All right.
And so it begins. And we start off down by Shaley's office. Now, if you were to look at our office, it's really one of those open plan sorts of things. If our office were a house, you would say that it has an open floor plan. It's basically one big room for the salespeople with a bunch of cubicles. And then there is one wall that has a bunch of offices in it. And all those offices are filled with manager types and people who need to have stuff locked up behind closed door and key. Think promotions people that have concert tickets and stuff like that. One end of the hall, of course, there are all the people that congregate, and at the other end, they stick all of the promotions people down there. Shaley is in that part of the building and a part that's kind of away from everybody too, but it's also the part that's closest to some of those old buildings like Kelly's and the Bridger building. So that is what we are starting off here to investigate. We're going to go down there and look at these claims of the typewriter that keeps typing, the mysterious typewriter that Shaley hears. We're also going to investigate the claim of the chair that spun around, because that office is right next door to Shaley's room as well. And thus, our investigation begins with a whole slew of equipment laid out all over the place. Equipment that measures atmospherics. They have equipment that measures electromagnetic fields. We're talking about barometric pressure, humidity, the temperature, the number of people that are in the room. They're very scientific when they do these investigations. This is not merely putting down a Ouija board or having some sort of seance anywhere. Ghost hunting in 2017 is a very scientific process. And the thing that I liked when talking to Larry and some of these guys is they really try to debunk a lot of these events in the first place and find some natural explanation for why they occur, as opposed to just jumping right into a spiritual or a supernatural thing. So when taking all of these scientific measurements into account, they can really look at the space in general. What was the weather like that night? What was the energy? Is there any electromagnetic fields, power lines, or something around that could cause these sorts of things to happen unbeknownst to the human body? And that's what the kind of stuff that they're trying to measure. So with all of this equipment laid out, with all of the lights turned down, we then begin a session of asking questions to any spiritual people that might be there in what they call an EVP session. Let's pick it up from there.
Hi, my name's Chris. I brought some friends. I mean, a couple people you may see every day in here. We thought we'd come up as quiet to see if anybody would like to talk to us. If anybody's listening, can you tell me your name? Could you tell me if you work here? Or what you might be doing here? I'm looking for somebody who might have been in that office over there. Or before it was an office. Who likes to move a chair around. Do you know who that might be? If that's you communicating by the flashlight, on the count of three, can you turn that off, please? One, two, three.
Well, again, I don't know about you guys, but if I had heard anything crazy on that tape, it would have been the end of me. So that was our EVP session for the original down by the promotions office room. The next place that we went in our building was what we refer to as the conference room and our performance space. Now, a little note about our room, because again, we're in one of the oldest buildings in Westport. But if you remember anything about Kansas City history, and you remember anything about going out in Westport in the 90s, you probably remember Stanford and Sons Comedy Club. Now, at the time, for reference, you would go to the bar and the restaurant at Stanford's at what is now known as Johnny Caw's Bar. That would be where you would go before the show. You would put your reservation in for the comedy show, and then they would call your name, and you would go upstairs into a room where the comedy club was. That comedy club room is now our conference room and our performance space where people come in and play for us. Sheryl Crow, Katy Perry, Neon Trees, these are the kind of people that have come into the radio station and played for us. We decided to set up some cameras and equipment in that conference room to see if any of the energy left over from all of those comic audiences had any sort of bearing on spiritual activity taking place in the building. So again, another EVP session here, and check this out.
If someone's really here with us, can you turn both of those flashlights on? How about if you'd like us to leave this room, can you turn both of those flashlights on? Have you ever seen these laser grids?
Yeah.
And what does that do?
So basically the theory is like something goes in front of it. Just stick your hand through it. So what you're not really looking for, like a shadow? Look, they're both on.
That means we gotta go.
Well.
Don't like your laser grid.
That's what we've asked it.
Yeah. So, all right, we'll go.
Well, I'm not going to second guess the ghost, and I'm not going to just ignore their warning. So we heeded that and got the heck out of there. It was back down to the promotions wing of the radio station for yet another EVP session to see if we could pick up any more energy and to see if we'd captured anything in the meantime on the equipment that we had laying around. And let's check out some of that audio.
Do you like the party atmosphere? All the people outside? Do you like watching from the windows?
Palace.
Do you consider this your palace?
Are you from Europe? Are you from Ireland? Do you like it here? Where it's quiet at nights?
What about Halloween? Do you like Halloween?
Do we annoy you during the day?
Okay, well, we may not have caught a ghost, at least on tape, and we may not have found energy there at the moment, but as Larry and Chris and everybody in PRI is very quick to point out, we don't let that get us down. It is possible that a building has residual energy. There are so many people, and again, the history of the building and the history of the area, there is bound to be energy left over from something that happened in that location in the past. The typewriter can be a good example of that. Somebody who used that instrument for their daily work could have that energy left over here after they pass on to the next world. So that's a good example of residual energy. And there's always the chance that we could have a future investigation again to see if things had changed and see if we could capture the energy. Because, look, some ghosts work on their own schedule. Sometimes it's true to time, too. And they just don't want to come out when we want them to. So that wraps up our special Halloween showcast. My big thanks to the guys at PRI for coming down and taking a Friday night out of their busy schedule to come hang out with us in Westport. Again, to Chris and Arthur, to Larry and his wife, and to Jen, and to all the people at KC1021 and Steel City Media as well for letting us hang out here after hours and check out the building. It was not all for naught. We learned a lot. We learned a lot about ghost investigation. We learned a lot about the scientific process and trying to debunk a lot of these activities as well. So it really was worthwhile. Thanks a lot to you for listening. Thanks for listening every day to the show with Jen and Truda as well. And we will see you next time for the next Halloween Spooktacular.